Good evening to everyone. It's good to see everyone here and good to be with you. I've had a fantastic week of being with you and studying together. And again, you have been very kind in expressing your encouragement to me and enjoying the lessons. And I am so glad. If I have caused you to think, I have accomplished the task that I intended. And it has been a good week. And I want to express my appreciation to those who have been providing the meal. And this morning, appreciated Jim and Wanda providing breakfast and then meeting with several others there at the Waterloo. Really enjoyed being with you. And then this evening, and I really appreciate the meal that was provided by Dale and Sue, and just getting to enjoying Ray and Carol, and also enjoying Ron and Nancy as well. And one of the things that I appreciated about the meal this evening is contribution that Ray and Carol brought, and in particular Carol. It was very good. I really enjoyed that. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say anything about it. But anyway, I enjoyed it. It was great. It's been just a great, great week, and just getting to know you and just talking together. Well, Don did warn you about me, didn't he? Oh, but anyway, but it has just been fantastic. If you will, at this time, as we have been dealing with the theme of living in the world but not of it, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and notice in the passage there, verses 1 through 3, in connection to what the apostle had written to Timothy. And as we have stated earlier, Timothy is there working at the location of Ephesus. And there, again, you had all kinds of people from all walks of life coming into that area because it was a port city. And so you're going to have all kinds of people. It's sort of like if you've ever gone to New York. And in New York, you have a lot of folks coming in from all over the world. And so you're going to encounter a lot of things. You're going to encounter different cultures because of New York's location and because all of the people that are coming and going in that city and in the state itself. And that probably is the same way in reference to some of the cities in California. Some of those things are basically the same thing, where you have all kinds of people coming in and going. Well, that's the way Ephesus was. And so Timothy is there to encourage these brethren and to help them to grow. But in the writings that Paul says to Timothy, he warns him of the things that are going to transpire. And so there in those verses, he says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith." The system of teaching that the apostles had been going about preaching about Jesus Christ, who he is, and what the Lord required of him. And he says they're going to fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Now you can see why it's important for us to study the scriptures so that we are not deceived by those who would fall away, those who are paying attention to the spirits and doctrines of demons. But he goes on and says, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. What Paul is doing to Timothy, he is letting Timothy know that the world in which he lives is about to change for the worse. That's right. And so Paul is warning Timothy of that so that he would be able to deal with those things and be prepared on how to handle them. People who would be intentionally deceiving others. While there would be those who would come up with different philosophies concerning their thoughts and how things should be. And one of the things about our society today, where individuals are no longer considering and holding marriage as honorable as God intended. And nowadays, they're promoting, let's live together first. That's what they're promoting in our society. And our world is falling prey to that. And individuals are being held captive by it. And so they're no longer looking at marriage as an honorable relationship, as God intended when he created man. and woman in the book of Genesis. And then you have individuals who tell you that you need to abstain from certain foods, and they have a movement, and they're pushing those things. Paul is saying, in reference to Timothy, your world is going to change. And we can see these things happening in our world, in our society. Things are changing. Individuals are going after the young. They're preying upon them. And the reason why they are going and preying upon the young is because the young are unsuspecting. They don't have the experience. And then some of them are ignorant of God's word. And so they are going after them and taking them captive. And these individuals are following this worldly philosophy. And that's why you have a world that is changing back and forth. And what you and I need to do as the people of God, we need to prepare ourselves and to be able to see the world and not be held captive, but instead make a difference. I want to encourage you, young folks. You can make a difference in a changing world. And God is through the apostle is showing Timothy that he can do that. And so that's what we're going to study tonight. And that is making a difference in a changing world. And Paul lays it out for Timothy to help Timothy to deal with the changes that is going to happen in his world. And so when we examine these things, I hope that it will help you as it has helped me to see those things and convey them to those who are unsuspecting, that their eyes might be open and to see where they stand in their relationship to God. If they have not established that relationship, that they will do so because God is looking out for their best interest. And so let's begin to look at what Paul says to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So how is Timothy going to make a difference? How is Timothy going to meet the challenge? Look there with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're beginning at verse 6 there. In verse 6, remember, the apostle says that in pointing out these things to the brethren, he says, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Notice, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. And so Paul is saying, in connection to how do we make a difference in this changing world, he says, you nourish yourself on the word. That is how you and I make a difference. And the idea of nourish means to train ourselves in what God says. To learn what it's all about. To become skilled in the truth. That is the idea of nourish on the word. And it strengthens us. It opens up our eyes so that we'll be able to see what is going on. You know, it's sort of like in our society, there are those who would teach evolution. Now, I'm not talking about the micro evolution. I'm talking about macro. You see, their unsuspecting minds have been taught that all of a sudden there was this little amoeba type germ thing or virus. And all of a sudden it just grew, and then it came on land, and all of a sudden it started flopping around. And as it flopped around, it developed lungs so that it could breathe the air. And then all of a sudden it needed to get around. And so it just kept flopping, and then legs grew, you know. And then all of a sudden, now you got this picture that man was not created in the image and likeness of God, but their philosophy says that man evolved as such. And when you start to listen to these things, and especially when you look back at what the Bible says, you see how nonsensical those things are. You see how ridiculous they are. And individual minds are being filled up with this garbage. And no wonder they act the way that they do. You see? You remember the phrase, when, especially when it came to the computers and so forth, garbage in, garbage out. Well, you know, we could be like that with our minds. If we put the garbage in, what's going to come out is garbage. But when we fill ourselves and nourish ourselves in the truth, what is going to come out is sound teaching. That's what's going to happen. We'll be able to see, in regards to the design of our world, that there was someone who is has infinite wisdom. That it took a mind to do what in the order in which our universe has been created. Yeah. Wow. Did our eyes develop the way that we're able to see? Did it happen by chance? And I've used this illustration a lot. And I say, you know, let's take the parts of a bicycle. Let's take them all one part at a time and just scatter them. And then just gather them together and let's put them in a barrel. And then let's start turning that barrel. Now, what are the chances of the tires ending up getting on the rim, and then the rims falling on the bicycle itself, and then all of a sudden the handlebars start to slip where they need to be, and then the screws end up getting on there and started tightening up, and then all of a sudden, after a while, maybe just a day or two, let's have it turning for a day or two, how many of us think that we can then take that bicycle out, get on and start riding? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Yeah. We know that there had to be someone with a mind in order to put those things together. You see, when we are nourished on the Word of God, we'll be able to see the sound teaching that God provides. Look with me at a passage over in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The apostle says this to these brethren. He says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and all slander. And he says, like newborn babes, we are to long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. In other words, the apostle is saying this idea of nourish. We need to long for the pure milk of the word. We need to long for the truth. And if we have that kind of desire in us, it's going to help us to develop and be the people that we ought to be and make a difference in our world. Yes. That is what the apostle is pointing out. And so, young folks, yes, you can make a difference. You are valuable. You are important. You are there in this changing world. And it is changing. It really is. And it changes very fast. It wasn't long ago that we have the computer system that came out, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, you know, it was a desktop, you know, one of those, and it was kind of slow. And now, in fact, when you go and buy one, it's already outdated. Now we have the desktop. The laptop, the tablet, you know, the phone and everything. That's how fast our world is changing. And young folks, if we are nourished on the word, we can take advantage of those things. We can then promote sound teaching. We can help our peers. We can help our friends. We can help our neighbors to understand that if they learn the truth of God, they will have a sound mind, a sound heart. And so, yes, you are important in this changing world. It changes fast, especially for those old folks. Notice I said those old folks. Now I'm included in that. It's changing fast. And you guys are able to pick up on that. And I want you to be aware, you need to nourish yourself on the Word of God so that the world do not take you captive and you use those things for destruction. Instead, what you will use them for is construction. And that is constructing and helping individuals to be built up in God. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. Here's another thing in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. The apostle warned these brethren by saying, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive. Through what? Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Yes, there are folks out there, they want to take captive. They want to take your mind. They want to control you. But if you're nourished on the Word of God, you will be aware of this philosophy. You will be aware of the empty deception, and you will see that it's not sound. While you will be, as you nourish yourself on the Word of God, and you will not be taken captive as long as you're following His will. All right, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. What else, Paul, to help us to make a difference in this changing world? Back there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in the first part of that chapter, verse, he says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women, and then talks about discipline, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. But notice, he says, you have nothing to do with worldly fables. Have nothing to do with it. What does he mean by that? He is saying, have nothing to do with myths. Something that is made up, and then they try to make it as reality. He says, I have nothing to do with that. I like the way the Message Bible says this point here. He says, you stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. I remember I was watching this one show, and these folks were, they had tried to avoid the catastrophe of a nuclear war. And so they built the shelter underground. And so as they thought the explosion had occurred, they went underground, and they were down there for years. And so finally, one of the mom came up out of the ground, and there was a group of people that was around in a building that had just worn down and so forth. But anyway, it was empty. And so she came up out of that like an elevator shaft. And as she came up, there was a group of people in there called themselves worshiping. And then they saw her and they said, who are you? And she says, I'm the mother. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, she's the mother. And they started worshiping, bowed down into her. Yeah, it didn't make any sense, did it? Well, Paul is telling Tim, you stay away from those kinds of things. And so that's what he's referring to. Reject worldly fables. Reject those made up stories. Reject those things that are dressed up to be something for you to follow, which is not true. Follow God's word. Follow His will. That is what Paul is pointing out. So you reject the fables, you reject these myths, and you stand firm on what is true and the reality of life, and that is God and His Word. Notice a passage with me over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. It is there that the apostle says to the, again, in this second letter to Timothy, he says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of the sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Do you see what Paul points out? And that's why, as he writes that second letter to Timothy and letting Timothy know, the reason why we're the reject fables, what they do is they lead to more ungodliness. That's what they do. And if we promote those things, it ends up spreading like cancer, eating away the soundness of heart and mind. It is very destructive. And that's what Paul is pointing out here in these passages. Individuals have strayed away from the truth. Those things that are true, those things that are right, those things that are good, and those things that are for our best interest. And their faith has been overthrown. And they're now, as we talked about last night, they're standing in the arena of destruction, the arena of sin, the arena of condemnation. That's where they stand. The apostle says, you shun those things. That is how we make a difference in a changing world. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now notice the latter part and also verse 8 there. But have, as he goes on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Do you see what the apostle is doing when he points that out to Timothy? And he says that. How do we make a difference in a changing world? Just simply disciplining ourselves for godliness. That's right. Disciplining ourselves for godliness, in other words, devoted to those things that are holy, those things that are right. Practicing and exercising self-control. Yeah. That's the idea of discipline. Training, and then the exercising of self-control. That an individual is in his right mind. And when he is thinking clearly, and when he is conducting himself in a controlled fashion and standing up for what is right, he then becomes, or she then becomes, a model of an example to those around about them, and they are able to see that God is with them. They are living according to the standard and the way that God teaches in His Word. Yes. It is like the athlete that changes or disciplines himself to engage in the contest. And as he disciplines himself, as he trains himself, now he is ready to enter into the contest. And if it requires his endurance, he has trained to be able to withstand the pressure and can go the distance. That's the way it is. And if we don't discipline ourselves for godliness, for the long haul, it begins while you are young. And then as you get older, you will have fewer regrets. Yes. That's the encouragement. Now is the time. And you will make a difference in a changing world. As the world is flip-flopping here and there, and here you are, you will be stable, and they will be able to see that. Our world is so unstable because individuals are flipping back and forth, and you can't trust them. You can't depend on that. But we as God's people, when we have disciplined ourselves for godliness, they can have trust that we will be consistent to the truth. And if we do fail, they can recognize and understand that we're going to make the changes that we need to. Why? Because we've been disciplined after the way of God. And we know what God requires of us. Here's a passage over in Matthew chapter 28, a passage that we are familiar with. And that pastor says, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then notice what he says. teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You go make disciples. You see, disciples comes from that word, discipline. Train, teach. And not only that, when the individuals submit themselves to the gospel of Christ, and as they are baptized in the Christ, now they need to continue to learn and grow as they observe what God says. You see, we don't know it all when we come up out of the water. No, we don't. That's why teaching is going on. That's why in the wisdom of God, and as we follow God's wisdom, as we assemble ourselves together, we have Bible classes. Material is written to help us to grow, to recognize the will of God. Yes. There are things, because of what the world has done to us, we have learned a certain way. And as we become a child of God, we need to unlearn those things that go against God and His will. And then learn those things that are in accordance to His will. And it takes time. It does. It depends on you. If you have the longing and if you have that desire for the pure milk of the word, you're going to grow. You're going to excel in your growth. It takes our whole devotion to God and His word. And if we don't do that, yes, we'll grow at the pace as you. It's going to be on you and on your growth. Yeah. And then when you see brethren excelling in their growth, don't get upset with them. Because they're excelling in their growth, because they have a great desire and this longing to know God and what God would have them to do. Don't get upset with them. What you need to do, join in and learn along with them. Have that same mind and desire to know God's will. And you will excel too. Yes. And it only occurs as we engage in God's word, as He has revealed these things to us for the purpose of godliness, to grow according to His likeness. Here's another passage, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. John says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the whole world. This is for everyone. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Yeah. As we are disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness, our intention and our mindset is to learn and apply God's will. And sometimes we just slip up. We don't intend to, but that happens. There is one who will advocate for us, who will stand beside us and appeal for us and say, you know, He has a heart, He has a mind to do your will. Yes. The Lord will advocate for us. What a blessing that we can have boldness and be courageous to serve God, stand out in the midst of a changing world and make a difference and not be afraid. Sometimes we get afraid. Well, I don't want to make any mistakes. Well, that's the first mistake you're making. Yeah, right there. No, be active. Be on the offense and spreading truth and teaching truth and being the example. Yes, and make the difference in the changing world. And letting people know that there is stability, and that stability is found in God and His truth. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. How else Can I make a difference in this changing world? We want to do that, don't we? We want to make a difference. And Paul is laying that out for Timothy. And it's a great lesson for us in our day and time as well, because our world is changing. It is. And so the apostle in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4 says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers." You want to make a difference in a changing world? Fix your hope on God. The world is changing. Butter is bad for you. Now what? Butter is good for you. See how that works? Yeah. Eggs are bad for you. Oh, eggs are good for you now. Wait a minute. I told my family, I said, you know, the reason why you have so many flip-flops when it comes to nutrition, there must have been a big graduation class of dietitians. Somebody's trying to find a job. I remember years ago, that's exactly what happened. It was a big influx. They had the nutritional restaurants and so forth, and all of these things, and individuals, you know, and they needed work, and that was the big push. Yeah, that's what our world, it changes and it flip flops back and forth. It's unstable. But if we fix our hope on God, who is stable, who teaches us and of how to live, His word stands. It doesn't change. The truth is the truth. Is the truth. No matter how you look, it's still the truth. No matter how I feel, it's still the truth. You see, that's the way it is. That is stability. You know, where God tells us, you know, we are to hold marriage in honor and it's pleasing in His sight. That won't change. I don't care how much the world changes. That won't change. That is God's standard. And He established another standard when He sent His Son to die for us. He is going to judge us by Him, as Paul writes there in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. You see, why? Because the standard that Jesus laid down, it is fixed. You see, I said that with a T. It should have been duh. But it's fixed. Yeah. That's the standard. And the idea of fixing our hope, meaning that we have this great expectation that God is going to deliver what He has promised. We know He will. We have example after examples of that. Way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Do you remember when God says concerning the seed of woman was going to crush the head of the serpent and the serpent was going to bruise his heel? That was referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it happened. That's right. There was nothing that could stop it. God fulfilled that promise way back when. And it may have seemed like as the individuals were living there. Does God remember what He's promised? Yes, He did. It's in His own time. It's when He deems it is right. It is when He deems that it's ready to be happened, because it will make the greatest impact. And when Jesus comes on the scene, and then when He dies and He is raised from the dead, it changed time. That's what it did. It impacted time. We now calculate our years based upon His death. That's what we do. That is stability. That is power. So we need to fix our hope on God. And so we have this great expectation. We do not follow the world's philosophy. We follow God's philosophy, God's teaching, God's wisdom. And when we follow that, we are guaranteed that God will deliver what he has promised. The psalmist said this over in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10. And he says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." He doesn't. Sometimes it may feel that way, but he hasn't. He is always working out something better. Understand that. He is always working out something better. And we need to trust him. And so that is what the psalmist is pointing out here in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer encouraging the Hebrew Christian said it this way in verse 5. He says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Wow. That is a statement of confidence. That is a statement of courage. So that we can make a difference in a changing world, no matter the odds against us. In fact, we're in the power position because we're with God, you see. We may feel and think that we're outnumbered. No, we're not. Not when we have our hope fixed in God. He makes the difference. Here's something else. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice there that where the apostle says to Timothy, he says in reference, you know how to make a difference in a changing world? He says, you prescribe and teach these things. That is how we make a difference. We prescribe and teach those things. Now, notice, you know our word prescription? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that's the concept. When we have an ailment and we go to the doctor, and what the doctor does as he diagnoses your problem, and what he says, you know, you need to go down to the drugstore. He writes a prescription. And you go down to the drugstore and you get that medication. That medication is designed to help you. What the doctor has done, he has prescribed something to help you through your medical difficulties. Here, the apostle says to Timothy, to make a difference in a changing world, here is the prescription. And that prescription, you teach. You tell individuals about fixing their hope in God. You tell individuals about nourishing themselves on his word. That is why I love this chapter teaching us how to make a difference. To make a difference in our families. To make a difference in school. To make a difference at work. Yes. As we prescribe these things and teach them, it's going to have a tremendous impact on this changing world. Yes. Here is the remedy to man's ailment. This is it. And so Timothy is told to do these things and teach them. And so should you and I. So we're looking back at those things. We should take this information as the world is dealing with those things that are tossing individuals to and fro. And they're trying to make sense out of things. Here you and I are. With the prescribed teaching of God to help them You see how that's making a difference? We are prescribing to them to help them to make sense out of this world. And that sense is, you can't trust it. You have to trust God. You have to live His way. Yeah. True success is living the way that God teaches. And we might determine it some other way, but I will tell you, true success is following God's way of life. That's true success. Let's go back. Notice something else. In verse 12, the apostle says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." You want to make a difference in a changing world? There you go. Be a good example. Give the world a sample by your life. And it may be a life where you may be blessed with material things. But to show them, be an example and show them, that's not where my trust is. My trust is in God. And you may not have the blessing and the amenities of life. And you say, well, that's not where my trust is anyway. My trust is in the home that God has made for me in heaven. You see, that's an example. We have all those things. And God will use you in the situation that He sees fit so that you can make an impact on this changing world. Yes, to help them to see that. And sometimes we forget that. When we don't have what we may see others, and we, woe is me. No. You remember when... After the resurrection of Christ, and Peter, who had denied the Lord, you remember he wept bitterly. And in the latter chapter there of John, you remember Jesus telling Peter, he says, you know, if you love me, you know, feed my sheep. And then he sees the disciple coming, and he says, Lord, what about him? You know what the Lord told him? Don't worry about him. You worry about what you are and what you're supposed to do. You see, that's the point. We are not to be going, woe is me. No, we should be asking, Lord, how can I glorify you in whatever situation I find myself? Whether it be in poverty, help me to be a good example. Help me to show others that I love you. In spite of what I don't have. Instead, help me to show others that I don't need those things. It is you that causes me to live. You see. And if I have those things, I want you to know, yes, God has truly blessed me and He could take those things. But that's not where my trust is. My trust is in the true and living God. Because God has prepared something better than all of these things that I have. You see. That's been an example. And then you might be in the middle part as well. Again, showing it. Yes, the Lord has blessed me. Well, the Lord didn't bless me with that, but I know that what I do have, I'm going to use it for His glory, you see. That's the attitude. That's how you can make a difference in a changing world. Because individuals, I'll tell you, the world thinks that if they don't have things, they feel that they are worthless. They feel that their souls don't mean a thing to God. And here you are. You could show them, yes, you do. You are important. See, that's the way the world is thinking. You see how we can impact the world and change it and make that difference? But we have to trust God. We must prescribe these things, and then we must be the example that God wants us to be. And as he tells Timothy, you be the example in speech. You be the example in conduct, love. You show individuals what love is all about as God teaches us. You want to show the individual what faith is and living in purity. Yeah, no matter the pressure that the world puts upon us, that you're going to stand firm in Him. Let's go on, if you will, and notice this passage with me. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. He says, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Yes, indeed. And that's what he tells Titus to do, where Titus is working, to point those things out as well. Be an example. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, as he points out, he says, at the same time, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scriptures, to exhortation and teaching. Want to make a difference? Give attention to reading, exhortation, and teaching. Young folks, let me encourage you in this way. I know sometimes it may seem like coming to services and listening to these things, it might be, oh, it's so boring. I want to encourage you how to overcome that. Get a tablet. And write down the points that are being said. Write them down. And the reason why I encourage you to do that, what it does, it gets your hands active. And if it gets your hands active, the mind is active. And as your mind is active, it's engaged. And as it is engaged and you're listening to those points, they start to make sense. And a whole new world opens up to you. And for you young men, You young men there, as you have that notebook and you start writing down the lessons or the sermons that are being taught, and then all of a sudden you have a notebook of good lessons. And then they may call upon you to give a lesson. You can look back out of the, I like that one. And you could teach it. Yeah, you see. Then you start growing in confidence. And then you start encouraging we old folks, with your confidence and your presentation of God's word. And everybody's encouraged by that. And you're starting to make a difference. And then as you learn these things and they're incorporated in you and you go to school and somebody might ask a question. They might be struggling and they ask you and here you are. You say, you know what I had learned at services? I learned this. And you never know what you might do to your friend. You might help him, you see. And then you start to see your usefulness in the kingdom of God. And you grow. That's how you overcome all of those things. Give attention to the reading. Pay attention to what's being read. Pay attention to the exhortation, the encouragement, what they're trying to teach. Pay attention to it. All of us. That's the point. And you'll make a difference in a changing world. Verse 14. Of 1 Timothy. In verse 14, he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. The idea really is, don't neglect your gift. Yeah, you are blessed. You are blessed with abilities. If you are... And some of us may have a pretty good tone when it comes to singing. Yeah, engage in leading singing. Yes. You see that? And some of us, I've been encouraged by you young men giving and offering the prayers. Wow, that's impressive. Don't neglect the ability that God has blessed you with. Use it in his service. Use it to encourage other brethren. In Christ. Do that. That is what Paul is telling Timothy. When he does it, he makes a difference in this changing world. And that's exactly what was happening. It was Paul who sent Timothy to Philippi to encourage those brethren. Timothy was making a difference. He was setting an example. And we are impressed with Timothy. Yes. There in Acts chapter 16, it is there that the apostle wanted to take Timothy with him. Why? He was impressive as a young man. And he was making a difference. And here he is writing him a letter to encourage him to be faithful with the truth in his life and serving God. So do not neglect the gift. Do not neglect your ability. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, I'll tell you what, when you look at that chapter is filled with the blessings that God has given us. That's right. As he points out there in those verses, in reference to the body, it's one body, but made up of many members. One body. So we are many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, now let me pause here. That's not talking about predicting the future. The primary meaning is telling forth the word of God. Yes. And there are those who have that ability and is able to communicate that. Do not neglect it. Use it. And then he goes on and points out, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Those are the abilities that God has given us. Don't neglect them. Use them. That is how we make an impact. That's how we make a difference in a changing world. We're showing them what God is able to do for the soul that submits itself to his will and abides accordingly. Let's go back. Verse 15. In verse 15, take pains with those things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be what? Evident to all. Do you see that? Be consumed with the truth. Don't be afraid to be consumed with it. How many of us are not afraid to go to the football games, the basketball games, and hold up one of those big styrofoam fingers? And there we are. We're just waving those things. And we don't have any shame, do we? No, I tell you, I don't. And I'll tell you what, I don't have any shame in proclaiming the truth of God's word. You see what's going on? And what happens is, when it comes to the truth, I don't want to look like a fanatic. Well, you're willing to look like a fanatic for your football team. You're willing to look like a fanatic for your baseball team. You're willing to look like a fanatic for your basketball team. Well, why be afraid to be a fanatic for truth? You see? Yeah. How much more? We should demonstrate that. That's the point that Paul is saying, so that it may be evident to all. We're not ashamed to do that. What we should, especially when it comes to truth. Yeah, we should stand up and not be ashamed of that. That is what we're learning from what the apostle is telling Timothy there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And with all the deception of wickedness, in other words, there are the mystery of lawlessness and all the lying wonders and deception in reference to, according to Satan, it says, those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. We should take pleasure in truth. There are those who would stand up even for a flailing team. Yes, I root for a flailing team. But I tell you what, I'm more excited about a victorious team. God. Yes. And we should stand firm so that we can make a difference in a changing world. Verse 16. In verse 16, he says, you pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. There it is. Pay attention to yourself in teaching. When we do that, we're going to make a difference. We're going to make an impact. The apostle says this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test. Do you want to pass? We have to pay attention to ourselves. Yeah, life is a test. But we can pass the test if we recognize that Christ is in us. And he will endow us with the power to overcome this changing world and be a stable, an example, a tower or a pillar of strength, all because of him. Now, I want to say this tonight. You want to make a difference? It begins with your obedience to Christ. That's where it begins. It begins with him. And when you start with knowing who God is and what he requires, and you repent of your sin, and you confess him as Lord, and you are baptized into him, he will bestow the blessings upon you. In fact, in the chart that we talked about last night, outside of Christ, here's where you are. You're in death. You're in condemnation. You're in destruction. You're in sin. The only way to escape it is through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Christ, all the spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sin, you are now a child of his. That's the idea of sonship. You have an inheritance. The salvation of your soul and the blessings of heaven, of which God has prepared a place for us to be with him. We are sealed. We are then identified as his. That's right. Enrolled in heaven. Our names are enrolled. It's in the book of life. And when that day comes, when the book of life will be open and our names are, there you are. Yeah, it's always, come on in. Yeah, you see, we are a new creation. Salvation is ours. But it is done when you and I are baptized into Christ. And then we are to walk faithfully with the Lord in our continued obedience. And so, my friend, if we can assist you in that obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.